It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for the delay there. Had a little bit of technical difficulty. Ken Simon with you here. My partner, David Faulkner, is actually on his way to the state golf tournament. He is the girls' Palkany High School golf coach, so had a player qualify for the state tournament, so he is actually on his way there. So I had a little bit of technical difficulty. I've not necessarily sat in the chair as much as I probably need to. Thought I had it figured out. Instead, hit one too many buttons, and here we are. So anyway, I appreciate you tuning in and listening here. As always on this show, we kind of started this back during the time when COVID kind of hit, and so we try to keep up to date on all of the numbers here. At this point, across the state of Kentucky, over a million and a half people have tested. Of those that have tested, 76,587 have tested positive. Of those numbers, there have been 1,223 deaths. The positivity rate is 4.21. New numbers came out today for the state. The numbers are a little bit askewed. There were 2,398 new cases reported. However, of that number, 1,472 were the backlog of Fayette County themselves trying to keep up. So the actual number was 926 new cases. Still too high, too many numbers. Kentucky, unfortunately, is kind of flatlining in a sense, but flatlining with high numbers, even though that positivity rate is down to 4.21. It still goes back to the fact that when you're close to 1,000 people, and obviously we've had over 1,000 several times here over the last couple of weeks. You know, that's way too many cases. And here in Powell County, we're dealing with the higher numbers as well. There have been 116 total cases here since going back to March. There are currently, there wasn't necessarily an update as of today, the last time I checked, but yesterday's numbers, 19 active cases. I don't think we've had a number like that really in several months. We try to go from Wednesday to Wednesday on the show just to give you some kind of idea. So last week, I think we were down to like 8, if I'm not mistaken. So we've had an increase in the number of active cases. 97 have recovered of the 19 cases as of yesterday. One of those was a pediatric case. When you look at those numbers, though, the fact that they're increasing, obviously, you know, that's not good. We are back in school here in Powell County. They are doing remote as well as in-person learning. And when you look at those numbers, obviously at the middle school has had to deal with a case over there. They've sent several students home in one of the grades over there. But still, it goes back to the fact that when we have 19 cases here and we were used to those single-digit numbers, obviously, you know, the fact that people are obviously getting out more, maybe it's to do with the fact that school is back in session. People are interacting a little bit closer in those environments. Again, but the 19 cases, definitely problematic. So it goes back to, you know, we've said this time and time again, you've got to, you know, wear your mask. You have to social distance. You have to wash your hands. Do everything that you can on your own and be accountable to that to try and, you know, fend that off. The kids are doing a great job in the school system. You know, they're wearing their masks. They're not necessarily getting out of the classroom except during designated times. And even at that, the hallways, you know, are not nearly as crowded at times as they may have been in the past. The kids, again, are doing a great job I think kids are very resilient, very adaptive. You know, very easily will wear their mask, you know, stay socially distant at times as they're allowed as far as being in the classroom. The desk and everything are separated. Some of the kids, as far as in the lunchroom, you've got, you know, the desks that are separated in there. Again, they're doing everything that they possibly can in order to keep the kids safe as well as the staff. Still ultimately goes back to, though, that there are still enough people here in the community that will not wear a mask. You know, again, everybody has that right to do that, you know, if they so choose. Some people will chalk it up to, you know, they have a health issue, and because of that health issue, under those circumstances, you know, they don't want to wear a mask. Obviously, they don't necessarily disclose what that is, and I get that. But at the same time, it still goes back to, if I'm going into a business here in the community, it's not much for me to be imposed upon, if you will, to wear that mask for a short period of time. And you know as well as I do, there are a lot of times with these masks, you know, it's not so much that they're uncomfortable. At times it gets difficult to breathe. But, you know, if I'm in an aisle or something, it's easy to kind of pull that mask down just a little bit to, you know, get a fresh breath of air, in a sense, and put it back up, you know, as soon as someone else comes around. Again, it still goes back to us being diligent. We've got to be able to, you know, get these numbers back down again. And really, due to COVID, you know, several of the local high school teams here have had games that have been canceled, not so much due to the Powell County teams, as much as it is the other teams that, you know, that were originally on their schedule. So some teams have had to quarantine to stop practice in surrounding areas. That's restricted gameplay for some of the high school teams because of that. And the last thing that we want is for these high school students to not be given that opportunity to, you know, play the games that were originally on their schedule, to not even be able to complete potentially seasons. Especially since we've kind of gotten into this. But I'll get into that here in just a few minutes. I'll go on and take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll start talking about some of those sports that have been affected by their schedule changes. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Well, all right, I'll get this thing figured out here. All right, well, anyway, so let's talk about high school volleyball real quick. The Powell County Lady Pirates are 9-0 on the season, coming out of the gates very strong. They have not lost a set in any of their matches so far. They're actually ranked at the top in state statistics as the team that has not necessarily given up a single set. But as far as the relationship with COVID here, they've had four games canceled on the season due to COVID-19. What's interesting, though, is that their last three games on the schedule have been canceled. So they've not played, you know, in over a week at this point. So, you know, when you stop and look, actually, I believe their last game was on October the 1st, maybe even. But, when you stop and look, that they've had three consecutive games that have been canceled going back to last week due to these other teams that are being affected by that. Two of those versus Estill County. One of those games was against Owsley County. Again, three district games, important district games at that, that have been canceled because of the circumstances in those counties with the higher numbers. Estill County has been having issues, obviously, for some time now. You know, they're in the red, then they kind of go down to the orange, and then they're back up into the red again with those numbers. Just having a hard time over there trying to get things under control along those lines. So that's a difficult situation. Obviously, you know, that the people in the community, you know, hate that. You know, the people who are affected by that obviously don't like that either. But more importantly, the students not being able to play their season, that's very difficult under those circumstances when you had an opportunity and you've practiced, conditioned even before that. to actually come in and have those games taken away from you. Now, obviously, it's not nearly as bad as it was for the spring sports. You know, high school baseball and softball, they weren't even able to play because of the pandemic here. So, you know, to some extent, it's a little bit lighter load as far as, you know, the teams now here in these early fall sports. But at the same time, nothing like getting into where you are in a season. Now all of a sudden you put the brakes on. It's like, okay, now we can't play games because of higher numbers. And I'm not sure which one would be more and more difficult. It's almost like, you know, losing a game. Is it better to lose a game by 10 points or is it better to lose a game by 1 point? You know, that's open for interpretation as well. And the same thing in this situation, you know, it, as far as being able to get yourself practiced, get yourself ready, you know, you get a couple of games in. Now, all of a sudden, under those circumstances, it gets, you know, called off because of the high numbers. Obviously, with some of the districts as well doing all remote learning, Powell County is remote and in person. So, you know, depending on the mix as far as what districts are even doing, how that affects even those numbers. And it still just goes back to people just have to be diligent and kind of keep to themselves, keep their group small in a sense as far as what you're actually doing, those social interactions, things along that line. So, again, the Powell County Lady Pirates, a difficult situation to be off as long as they will be before their next game. Speaking of next game, they actually were able to pick up a game. It'll be this Friday. It will be a home game for the Lady Pirates, as they will play host to George Rogers Clark in Clark County there, as Coach Ken Jones, the head coach, able to schedule another team in. And, you know, if there's one thing about Coach Ken Jones, if he has a game canceled for whatever reason, he's going to try and find another opponent if he can. Again, that's a smart move to keep your girls fresh on this team and to keep them acclimated to game play. You can only get so much out of practice. You know, practice is great, you know, because you can work out some issues in a sense as far as the way that your team is communicating. Maybe if they're not communicating well, you know, maybe work in a few new plays in a sense, or new sets, whatever it might be, to even look at different players. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of advantages to practice, to work on your skill set, et cetera, but there's nothing like actual game play in order to get your team ready. So, at least Coach Ken Jones was able to schedule this GRC match. Again, that will be at Powell County High School this Friday. Varsity will play first. That game will be at 6 o'clock and usually followed by the JV game shortly thereafter. The Lady Pirates just have three remaining games on their schedule. So besides Friday, their game, three additional games besides that, they will have one on Monday at Wolf County. Of course, that one pending if that one actually occurs. Well, Tuesday they're at home against Breathitt County, and then Thursday at home versus Morgan County. So obviously they'd like to get in as many games as they possibly can before the district tournament. The district tournament actually is scheduled to begin October the 19th. Estill County is the host of the girls volleyball district tournament this year. And again, with everything that's actually going on, who knows what will actually play out here over the next couple of weeks, but you'd like to think that everyone can get healthy, everybody can get back into game mode and continue on as far as the matchups and things, especially as it relates to the district tournament. And I know that the having talked to several of the players on the varsity team, they would love nothing more than to be able to play Wolf County in volleyball as well as Breathitt County. Those two games, including Estill County, obviously with being a rival, but with Wolf and Breathitt, two of those teams that were on their original schedule that they were looking forward to playing, Wolf County was one of those early games that was actually canceled due to COVID-19. So, again, they would love to be able to have all three of those games coming up next week, especially the front two, the one at Wolf and the one against Breathitt County. Because it won't be long after that, the district tournament will start. That's scheduled to begin October the 19th at Estill County. So we're only a couple of weeks away from the district tournament actually starting for the girls. So very impressive team was this Lady Pirate team. Again, 9-0 on the season. Haven't lost a set yet. They've been in some tough battles, which is nice in a sense as far as them being tested. You know, when you're winning and you're winning and you're winning and winning handily, you don't necessarily realize potentially what it takes to be down and to overcome some of that adversity in order to pull out a win. We've seen them be in some close matches where they've been down and actually have come back to win, not only the sets but the match. But, again, challenging for this Lady Pirate team. Again, if they can stay focused, if they can stay driven in a sense as far as continuing to work hard at their game, continuing to individually work hard, continue to communicate like they do really well, set each other up, not get frustrated, not allow some of those mistakes to kind of get in your head, put them behind you. They lift each other up in a sense, encourage each other. But this team definitely could do something special. The fact that they're 9-0 on the season, haven't lost a set, that's indicative of the type of team that this Ken Jones has that goes out on the court. Now it's just a matter of them staying focused, staying driven, and see if they can't not only win the district title, but they're shooting for a regional title. Powell County has fallen short of winning a regional title. Thought they were going to get it last year. Unfortunately, it just didn't quite go their way. But they definitely have their eyes on that regional title as well. So hopefully they can actually get that. We will actually have the Breathitt County game for you next week. We will not be able to travel to Wolf County on Monday as much as we would like to be able to cover. We can't be there, be two places at one time as we've got another game that we're going to be covering. But we will have the Breathitt County game. If that goes off, that will be Tuesday again of this upcoming week. Breathitt County, the Lady Pirates will play host to them, and that will be at 6 o'clock. So let's go on and step aside here real quick. We'll take a quick break and come back. And when we come back, we'll talk about boys and girls soccer as their seasons are about ready to wind down themselves as you're listening to the Powell County Sports Network live with Dave and Ken.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Ken Simon with you here. Again, my partner and colleague, David Faulkner, is actually on his way to the girls' state golf tournament, as that will be held, I believe, starting tomorrow and Friday. Hopefully they do really well down there. Again, one of the girls ended up qualifying to go to state. So let's switch over to soccer here. The girls' soccer team, a slow start on their season, basically due to different circumstances as it related to COVID. But they are actually 2-4 on the season, the Lady Pirates soccer team. Tonight they actually are playing host to Paris over at the high school. That game started, at 6 o'clock. And then they'll have another match on Saturday. It will be a doubleheader where they will face off against Hazard. The Bulldogs will come in, and that game will be at 2 o'clock on Saturday. The district tournament is already set for the girls. They will play Estill County in the district tournament. That game will be Wednesday, October the 14th at 6 p.m. That is the girls' championship. Unfortunately, for the other teams in the district, due to players not having enough players to field a team. So the girls will go right into the championship game to face off against Estill County. Again, that will be Wednesday, October the 14th. Coach Lane Mink has a a young team in a lot of ways. He has some players that obviously have a lot of playing time, but the girls just haven't quite lived up, I guess, to some extent, to expectations. But, again, a young core team definitely will be ready in the next couple of years as far as the players that are coming up. And nothing against the girls that are currently on this team. But sometimes when you're playing against different competition, sometimes your team will out-hustle you. You know, they will beat you to that ball on the field. You know, they're going to make solid passes to their, players on their team. And they're going to be able to dribble the ball. So it ultimately goes back to, as individuals, you have to develop your own skill set. You know, you can only get so much from practice. It's a lot really during that off season or when you're not practicing to try and help yourself, whether that's running, jogging, conditioning, or even going out in the backyard or on a field and dribbling the ball, etc. So the games that we've seen with the girls here, the other team's just a little bit more aggressive and a little bit better at passing under the circumstances. But still, when you still have a few games left, you can turn things around. You know, a score that's 1-0 in many respects is a great soccer match. A lot of defense along those lines. But the Lady Pirates hopefully can pick up a good win against a Paris team here again before playing host to Hazard on Saturday. And I'll repeat it one more time. They will play against Estill County in the Girls District Championship. Again, just the two teams. And that will be next Wednesday, October the 14th at 6. We will be bringing that game to you, and it will be streaming on Facebook Live. Now let's switch over to boys soccer, a different team here for boys soccer. Again, these players have been around almost from the very beginning as far as in the Little League. They are 7-1-0. The one was not a loss. It's a draw, so they've not lost anything. They had a 2-2 draw against Garrett County. So they are 7-1-0, and they've been off for a while, almost nearly 2 weeks by the time they will actually play the game coming up on Saturday. Again, a doubleheader Saturday. They will play noon against Hazard, and the girls will play at 2 o'clock. And then in the district tournament, the boys will play Wolf County. That game will be Monday, October the 12th at 6 p.m. We will be bringing that game to you as well. So the boys will play Monday, October the 12th in soccer, and then the girls will play Wednesday, October the 14th in soccer. The boys will be the first round game. Again, both of those games will start at 6. And then on Tuesday, October the 13th, it will be Estill County versus Jackson City in the other bracket. So, Powell, if they are able to win on Monday against Wolf County, they beat Wolf County twice during the regular season. If they're able to win on Monday, they will play against Estill County or Jackson City in the championship game. That championship game will be Thursday, October the 15th at 6 p.m. So still a lot of soccer action to go. Girls on Wednesday, boys on Monday. The championship for the boys, if they win against Wolf County, will be Thursday. And what's unique about the boys' team is that they have a lot of weapons. The team, as far as like what they are able to do offensively for themselves, is really amazing in a sense. They come in averaging about 6 or 7 goals per game, which is, you know, crazy under the circumstances for teams to actually score that many goals. But when you look at what Powell has done, they ended up defeating Wolf 10-0 and 6-0. So, you know, 16 points and not putting up anything on those, and very few goals have even been scored for this team here against this team. Seth Kennan doing an outstanding job as far as the goalkeeper. And then when you look at the offensive players for Powell County, Cole Dunn scored lots of goals. You know, when you look at what he's been able to do on the field for himself, being set up to be able to score along those lines. Let me look here. Trying to think. Grant Fraley, another one. He's kind of one of those set-up players, if you will, where he will actually, you know, do some passing along the lines. And then when you look at Tyler Smith doing a good job as far as I actually said he's the goalkeeper, Tyler Smith. I apologize. Seth Cannon and Cole Dunn are the two players as far as scoring most of the goals for the Pirates. Again, when you're scoring that many goals in a set, it's really amazing under the circumstances that you're able to do that against teams. But the thing I like about the boys' team is that they are very quick. They will actually run to the ball and out-hustle their opponent. They make a little bit better passing under the circumstances. They set each other up really well. But really, it's the speed. You know as well as I do, if there is a loose ball on the floor, it's the player that goes after that loose ball as opposed to being hesitant. You know, and sometimes that gives you that extra possession, in order to do it. Or even analogy as far as with in volleyball, as opposed to just letting a ball drop in front of me, I'm going to dive and see if I can't dig that one out. Again, it's those extra hustle plays that really can go a long way. Whether you get it or not is irrelevant in that, to the extent that as long as you keep trying and hustling to do that, eventually it's going to pay dividends for you. And that's one of the things that the Pirates boys soccer team does. They give that extra effort. They outrun and out-hustle the other players. They make great passes. And when you're able to do that and give yourself the right numbers to shoot on goal, that's why they've been so successful. Again, it's very uncommon that you'll have a team that can come in and average 6 to 7 goals per match. You know, that doesn't even necessarily happen in the pros. Whether you're talking about MLS, the English Premier League, the Italian League, it doesn't matter. Under those circumstances, that's just incredible that, this team is actually able to score that many goals when they're in a match. But they're actually, they have goals just like every other team does. You know, they not only want to win a district title, they want to win a regional title. And when you look at the teams over the years, it usually ends up Powell against Perry County Central, and it's usually played at Perry County Central. The unfortunate thing is that Perry County Central has a artificial turf field as opposed to a grass field. So therefore, that ball is going to bounce a little bit differently. That feel is going to be different as far as you running on that field. And the Pirates in the past haven't necessarily been able to figure that out just yet and, come away with a regional title. This boys team definitely setting themselves up to take on a regional title and come away with a victory. Again, they have the players, they have the defense, they have the goalkeeper, they have the coaching staff. The sky's the limit, just like with the girls' volleyball team. For them to go as far as they're able to, it ultimately goes back to you have to stick together as a team, you have to communicate, you have to out-hustle and outwork the other opponent, and if you find yourselves down, then overcome that, and realize that we're going to still win. Even though I'm down, it's one point at a time, one goal at a time, in order to get back into a particular match, particular game, whatever the case might be. So very impressed with the boys' soccer team so far. Again, I'll recap one more time, and then we'll move on, take another commercial break here, and come back and talk about Powell County High School football. So the girls will play Estill County Wednesday, October the 14th at 6 p.m. in the girls' soccer championship. The boys will play on Monday, October the 12th at 6 p.m. against Wolf County. And then if they win that, the boys' championship will be Thursday. Again, if you get a chance, get out on Saturday. Not sure what the weather is supposed to be. I believe there's a chance of rain, if I'm not mistaken. But if you get a chance early Saturday, the boys will play at noon against Hazard. The girls will play at 2 o'clock against Hazard. Get out and support the Powell County Pirates. So we'll go on and step aside here one more time. You're listening to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Well, okay, I guess I'm back again. We'll just carry on here then. Let's switch over to football here as the Powell County High School Football Pirates 2-2 on the season, 1-1 in district play. They ended up losing last week to Fleming County. The Pirates kind of got themselves in a little bit of a hole and just couldn't quite dig themselves out of that, having dropped to Fleming County. They will play Pendleton County this week as the Pirates will travel on the road to Pendleton County. We will have that game for you as well, as the pregame will be at 7 p.m. and kickoff set for 7:30. Pendleton County 2-2 on the season, Powell County 2-2 on the season, and both of them are 1-1 in district play. So a key district matchup here for both of these teams. Obviously, the Pirates need to come away with a win, especially on the road. At that point, that only leaves them one more district game. So this one's going to be very important at this point. Fleming County is 1-2 overall, 1-0 in district play. Mason County is 2-1 overall, 1-0 in district play. Those two teams will match up against each other. That's why this game against Pendleton and Powell is so important as far as seeding, making it to the postseason. At this point, you know, they need to come away with a victory for themselves, and then the Fleming Mason County ought to make for a nice matchup. Mason is at Fleming County, so you know, be interesting to see how that game plays itself out. And then Lewis County gets a bye this week. Lewis County 0-4 on the season, 0-2 in district play. They probably need the extra week in order to kind of get themselves prepared. They've not necessarily had the season. Everybody obviously has high hopes entering into the season, but for themselves, not necessarily going the way that they would like. So Fleming County 1-2, Lewis County 0-4, Mason County 2-1, Pendleton and Powell 2-2, 1-1 in district play as they'll face off against each other coming up on Friday. Then the rest of the games on the schedule for the Pirates next week, not this Friday, going to October the 16th at this point, they will be on the road at Floyd County Central. That'll be an interesting game as well, as the Pirates will travel to Floyd County Central. They play Prestonsburg early in the season, so now they'll be going to Floyd County on the road against Floyd County Central. That will be on October the 16th. And then the Pirates will finish at home regular season against Mason County on October the 23rd. So when you look at the matchup between Fleming and Mason, key matchup, and then Powell and Pendleton, a key matchup again with Lewis having a bye week. So when you look at the Pirates, head coach Mike Jones coming in, his first year as the head coach here at Powell County, coached for many years over in Estill County. Spent a little bit of time over in Montgomery County as well before taking the head coaching position here. He likes to, you know, run that wing tee offense, bunches it up a little bit more than prior head coaches that have run that same offense, kind of pack it in tight in a sense. The Pirates are averaging nearly 300 yards rushing per game, which is incredible in and of itself. Unfortunately, it's penalties and or turnovers and or giving up big plays that have really been costly for the Pirate football team. So if they can reduce their mistakes, cut down on penalties, not turn the ball over, and not give up the big play, you know, they seem to be in just about every one of these games, really with the exception of the Breathitt County game, and that score was a little askew. They lost 50-8. In that game, but they turned the ball over four times. You know, they were moving the ball and rushed for over 300 yards in that game, but you can ill afford to turn the ball over under those circumstances. So if the Pirates can go to Pendleton County, reduce those penalties, costly penalties, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where they'll get a first down, and all of a sudden, because of a hold or another penalty, it'll push the ball back. And being a run-oriented team, if all of a sudden now you had it first and 10, and now you know you get a great run, and all of a sudden you've pushed it back another 5, potentially 10 yards, now you've got you know, 3 attempts in a sense, because most will punt on fourth down, depending on the placement of the ball on the field. But at that point, now you've got more ground to make up. And the Pirates really come in probably about 3 or 4 yards per carry, depending on the particular play and what the defense is doing. But you can ill afford to do that. And then even turnovers, again, have been costly at various times. And injuries, they've been hit by the injury bug. Several players have been out due to various injuries. You'd like to think that, you know, they some rest over the last couple of weeks, depending on when these players got hurt, to be able to come in and contribute. You know, someone with collarbone issues, obviously they're not necessarily going to return. Luke Hood fractured his femur. You know, he's not necessarily going to be back. And so when you miss three players like that, that were kind of key to your success, you definitely miss them. But then that just means that somebody else needs to step up, you know, next man up in a sense, as far as being able to come in and be a contributor. And I've said this before, as far as this particular team, when you look at the offensive and defensive lines of the Pirates, especially the offensive line, do an outstanding job. Even last week against Fleming County, a much bigger defensive line Fleming County had compared to the Pirates. However, the Pirates did, a nice job of blocking at times in order to give their backs an opportunity to gain big yards. Just goes back to cutting down on those particular mistakes. But an exciting team nonetheless. When you have a team that can rush for over 300 yards a game as an average, that's impressive, at, no matter what the level is. You know, I like that kind of football in many respects. It reminds me when I went to Eastern, Roy Kidd, head coach over there, that's what he would do. I'm going to run it against you. You're just going to have to stop me. I'm not going to pass very often unless I'm going to use, you know, that to my advantage in a sense, and or I need to. But again, just that smash mouth football, I'm going to run it at you. And just to show the toughness of your team, again, the offensive line to create those opportunities, and then the wing backs and running backs for the Pirates to be able to crank out some big yards. So whether you're talking about Steven Norris, Josh Ledford, Tyler Wren, Tyler Charles, Daniel and Elijah Miller, and Larry Shiflett, you know, they were all kind of getting in the mix before a couple of them end up sustaining injuries. But still, when you have that ability and that speed to get out, to get take advantage of those openings that are actually there that your offensive line creates, and to be able to score, it's just a matter of cutting down on those mistakes, not turning the ball over, and see if you can't come away with a win. Again, I'll recap one more time. So the Pirates are at Pendleton County on Friday. We will have that game. We'll go on the air at 7. Facebook Live, more than likely, probably about 7:30 as far as coverage of that. So make sure that you tune in to Facebook Live, as we will have that game for you. So we'll go on and step aside one more time here and come right back with the Powell County Sports Network here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from ProTech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call ProTech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9348.
And welcome back, Ken Simon, with you here on the PCSN Live with Dave and Ken show. As I'm going to switch over to college for just a minute here, as the Kentucky Wildcats will play host to the Mississippi State Bulldogs. The Bulldogs coming in with a 1-1 record on the season. The Wildcats 0-2, as head coach for Mississippi State, Mike Leach, coming in to face off against this Wildcat team. The Wildcats have had their opportunities to win not only the game against Auburn. Again, mistakes, costly mistakes, were detrimental to them being a little bit more competitive in that game. And the same thing last week when they played Ole Miss at home. They missed a field goal. They missed an extra point, you know, turning the ball over. You can ill afford to do that, you know, to find yourself up by 14 points, and all of a sudden you relinquish that and give up big plays and allow the team to actually come back and send it to overtime. And then at that point, you know, you miss an extra point, and the game is over under those circumstances. So the Wildcats definitely have their hands full. They've got to turn things around, being 0-2 on the season. You know, a lot of high hopes for this particular team going into the preseason, as far as, you know, saying the number of players that they had back on both sides of the ball, especially defensively. But they've given up a lot of points, a lot of yardage. Definitely have to clean things up. And Mike Leach, he likes to air things out. You know, he will not be afraid to pass. And if anything has been questionable about the UK defense, it's been their backfield. It's been those defensive back, those corners, safeties, giving up big plays, big chunks of yardage. So, you know, Coach Mike Leach is going to come in and, you know, air it out in a sense. And then it's really just up to the UK defense to step up. You know, again, 0-2 on the season. Some people thought, you know, a promising 7-3 potentially. As far as looking at their schedule at this point, you know, they might be lucky to go 4-6 with the toughness of their schedule. You know, Tennessee will be coming up. Florida is still on the schedule. Georgia's still on the schedule. Alabama's still on the schedule. You know, so not a lot of opportunities. The opportunities really were early in the season as far as Kentucky, these first couple of games, to kind of give them that opportunity. So, you know, Florida's ranked in the top five. Alabama's ranked in the top five. And both of those are still on your schedule. And Tennessee, I know that they're at least top 25. I'm not sure where they fall within that range or whatever else. So tough matchups for the Cats, but they've got to be able to take care of business for themselves coming up, especially this weekend, and it being a home football game. You know, you can ill afford to make the same mistakes that you're making under those circumstances. A lot of people would like for Terry Wilson, the quarterback, to kind of be benched in a sense. You know, those that may remember, he suffered a knee injury last year. He's actually back, but they got a player that was brought in from Auburn, Gatewood, and so he's been cleared to play. So a lot of people would actually like for him to go on and play, because he still has 2 years of eligibility left. So a lot of people would actually like to see him come in. He's a dual threat quarterback, and realizing that he more than likely is the future quarterback for Kentucky, a lot of fans would like to go on and see him get in now under the circumstances, and not allow Terry Wilson to you know, start anymore. But Terry Wilson knows the system. He's just got to clean things up a little bit for himself as well, just like a lot of other teams. Now I'm going to switch over to national sports. Major League Baseball in the playoffs right now. There are four games today. Miami versus Atlanta. Atlanta ended up winning that game to take a 2-0 series lead. And then Oakland and Houston. Houston has a 2-0 lead. However, Oakland has a two-run lead right now, going into the eighth inning. And then later on tonight, Tampa Bay Rays take on the New York Yankees. That series is tied up one apiece. And then the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Los Angeles leads that one 1-0 in that series. So a lot of interesting teams in the mix as far as this year. What's kind of interesting as well, when you look at the National League, Miami and Atlanta, I'm not so sure that a lot of people would necessarily thought that those teams would have made the playoffs, yet alone to get where they are, especially Atlanta, the first time in years since they've actually made the playoffs, and then San Diego and Los Angeles, the Dodgers, an early favorite in the preseason. You know, they've kind of rolled along in a sense, leading that series 1-0. That will be later on tonight, and then again the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees coming out of that game. So I'll switch over now to the National Basketball Association, the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers lead the Miami Heat 3-1. A big win last night for the Lakers, 102-96, to take that 3-1 lead. When you look at Miami, the way that they you know, continued to play and everything, they found themselves down in this game, kind of clawed back, took the lead a couple of times, but then down the stretch, really it was all Miami, all Los Angeles. If Miami does not make a high percentage of shots, they have a difficult time. They didn't necessarily rebound the ball really great and or shoot really great last night, despite, you know, really some outstanding performances by three former Wildcats, Anthony Davis with 22 points, Tyler Hero with 21 points, and Bam Adebayo with 15 points. He did not play two games in the series because of a neck injury, so he was back last night. He ended up getting 15 points, but you know, in that particular series, the Lakers, obviously the dominant team, many people felt like at Los Angeles, once Anthony Davis came in from the New Orleans Pelicans and hooked up with LeBron James, that they were going to be a duo really to be reckoned with, and obviously they've proven it as they lead 3-1. That game will be on Friday night for that game 5 in that particular series, but impressive with the way that the Kentucky players have fared as far as in this series. An interesting side note to this, I'm not sure how many people really realize this as well, but the Lakers head coach Frank Vogel actually went to Kentucky during the Patino era. He came in as a manager for that team, and then Rick Pitino, during that 95-98 stretch, Vogel was there. Rick Pitino had kind of resurrected the JV teams, and Frank Vogel played on that team. And then when Pitino took off and went to the Boston Celtics, at that point, a couple years later, Frank Vogel ended up joining him in Boston. And so another Kentucky connection there as far as the head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, Frank Vogel, having that Kentucky connection and coaching his team. He's had different stints as far as head coaching. He was the head coach of the Indiana Pacers as well as the Orlando Magic before making his way to the Lakers. One final thing here is the NFL. The teams are well underway here. The Cincinnati Bengals, for Bengals fans, ended up picking up a much-needed win for themselves. I know a lot of people were excited about that as far as them getting a win, but really some interesting game or, you know, standings, I should say. You know, I think the fact that the Buffalo Bills are 4-0 on the season, the New England Patriots without Tom Brady, 2-2 on the season. So, you know, when you look at Buffalo at 4-0, that's kind of interesting. Then in the AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers at 3-0, the Ravens 3-1, the Cleveland Browns 3-1, and the Bengals 1-2-1 as they had a tie a couple of weeks ago. And then the Tennessee Titans in the AFC South are 3-0 for themselves. The Chiefs at 4-0, that being in the AFC. And the NFC East, not sure what to even make of that one, as the Philadelphia Eagles 1-2-1, the Washington football team 1-3, the Cowboys 1-3, and the Giants 0-4. So that division is in the East wide open at this point. Let's see who's going to be able to get on track under those circumstances. Then the NFC North, the Packers are 4-0, the Bears 3-1, and then in the NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady at the quarterback, 3-1 on the season. The New Orleans Saints, 2-2. So a lot of football still to go, but definitely some interesting standings actually at this point. We're going to go on and step aside here real quick one more time. You're listening to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.